This is part two in our series, Why Plant a Church? We talked last time about being the good leaven and not the bad leaven in our community. Today we're going to hit a very direct answer to Why Plant a Church, part two here, and we're going to say, why plant a church? To do the will of Christ. You may laugh at this answer for why planting a church. Sometimes people have really detailed reasons for planting a church. Don't get me wrong, there are a lot of great things that a church plant can do. They can serve at a local homeless shelter, they can feed the hungry, they can even be a good community with one another. These are admirable things. However, they are nothing without doing the full will of Christ. We mustn't miss the movie while we live in the freeze frames. Luke 14:23 states, "And the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled." What is the will of Christ? He wants us to compel people to come in. He wants heaven filled with believers. He doesn't desire that any should perish. We need to take that kind of urgency to our ministry. Our number one reason for planting a church needs to be to see the lost saved and the saved growing and actively sharing the gospel with the lost. It is the most pressing will of God for the church and for us individually. I don't mean to negate the other parts of the church. We need to be discipled and discipling. However, it needs to be done with a focus that we can multiply believers and not just get theologically big brains. Matthew 28:18-20, we all have heard for the most part. Jesus says, "And Jesus came to him and said," all right, "Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." We've heard the Great Commission time and time again. I found this story about a pastor very interesting. This church planter was an expositional preacher, meaning he would teach through books of the Bible, which is what we are going to do as we launch in March. If you want to read ahead, we'll be starting in 1 John. But every one of his messages would have the gospel in it. A man came up to him after one service and said, "All of your sermons sound the same and teach the same thing." The pastor looked at him and said, "What do you mean?" The man said, "Every sermon you preach seems to end with a gospel and the Great Commission." The pastor looked at the man and said, "Well, are you sharing your faith with others?" The man replied, "Well, no, not yet." With a tongue-in-cheek statement, the pastor then said, "I guess I'll have to keep preaching that until you start practicing it." How convicting can this story be? I know in the past I've had moments personally where I wanted to keep getting deeper and deeper in the Word of God. But practically speaking, I wasn't doing the Word I already knew. May we be doers of the Word and not hearers only. What does the word commission even mean? The dictionary defines it as a group of people officially charged with a particular function, an instruction, command, or duty given to a person or group of people. Notice what is missing here. What is not stated in this definition? A suggestion, a request, a good idea, a recommendation. Nope, it is a command, duty, instruction, charge. Sharing the gospel is not optional. It is the will and command of God. How do I share the gospel? Let's get practical for a minute here. I want to give you some tools to help you make this happen as we move forward. If you want to see this community reached and souls saved, we need to be prepared for battle. Sharing the gospel can be very difficult. It is uncomfortable at first. You may feel overpowered and unprepared. How do we combat these difficulties? First, preparing well for battle. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Brothers and sisters, we are going to battle against Satan and his demons. He does not want this church plant to succeed because he doesn't want to see anyone else saved. Believe me when I tell you, we will be hit with spiritual warfare as we seek to share the gospel in this community and be a light for Christ. Yet we do not need to fear. Proverbs 29:25 states, "The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." We don't have to fear man or evil. God is where we put our trust. To prepare for this battle, we must be equipped. One thing that lacks in most gospel preparation programs is the heart and mind of the believer. Oftentimes, the practical sharing of the gospel is the landing point or the leading point, and not the heart and mind of the believer. You cannot share what you do not have. Let me repeat, you cannot share what you do not have. Sharing the gospel starts with making sure that you truly believe the gospel. You will not sound very convincing if you're not fully convinced yourself. Spend time in the Word. Seek wise counsel for more mature believers, and ask the hard questions that may come up as you search your heart and mind. Be sure that you are standing firm in the Lord. I cannot belabor this point enough. Be sure that you are sure. We're going to address just a few methods of sharing the gospel. And the first one is the Three Circles by Pastor Jimmy Scroggins down in Florida. This is a very helpful tool to share the gospel. Pastor Kenny from Scott Depot, our Good Shepherd Baptist Church in Scott Depot, has shared this and actually did a small group study on this a couple of years ago. It's a very easy tool to share the gospel. I have a link in the notes of this message that will give you some training from Pastor Scroggins as well. It consists of, obviously, three circles: God's design, brokenness, and the gospel. We will likely go through this in more detail in small group settings in the future, but this is one of the great ways we can share the gospel. The second one is the bridge. This is a simple drawing that you can do that shows the gap between man and God because of sin. We then see how Christ bridges that gap through the cross. No matter how hard people may try to get to God, the gap is too far wide in order to make it there. Only Christ can get us to God. This is really helpful for talking with works-based salvation. Catholics, as well as Muslims, who are also works-based in their religion approach. The last one is the conversational approach, and I have moved to more of a conversational approach recently. A great way to start off a conversation with someone about spiritual matters is to either ask, is there anything that I could pray for you about, or would you mind telling me a little about your religious beliefs? Now, when you do this, it can't just be asking the question in order to get your way or your opportunity. You need to be genuinely interested in that person and where they are spiritually. You need to be genuinely interested in their life. And when you ask them if there's something you could pray about, you need to truly pray with all your heart for them and have a heart for them. Don't just use this as a tool to get into their minds or into their hearts. And let that person share their entire beliefs with you. Be genuinely interested, hearing them out of where they're at and seeing where they are. Don't be too quickly to jump and drop the hammer and start shot blocking what they say. Be respectful. Hear them out. Then you may probe them and ask them some other open-ended questions in order to understand their beliefs better. After they share, you can ask a question like, would you mind if I shared my beliefs with you? Then you can do the three circles, the bridge, or share the gospel conversationally. If they say no, then you graciously walk away and just pray that was a planting of a seed for the gospel for them later, and that someone else will be brought by God to share that. A short message like this can leave you feeling a bit overwhelmed. There's so many ways to share the gospel that it can seem like an impossible task. However, it is much easier than it seems. I'm going to give you five steps here, five ideas as we prepare to share the gospel. Number one, the first step, as we've already addressed, is making sure that you are fully convinced of the gospel yourself. Deal with that first. Number two, the second is picking a method that you are more comfortable with. The best method for you is the one you're going to use. Number three, the third is going out with someone more seasoned than yourself at first and watching them share the gospel. Learn by watching someone else. The fourth is going out with someone else to back you up as you share the gospel. A lot of times there's safety in numbers whenever you go through something like this. If there's a question you can't ask or you can't answer, then you'll have someone else to help you along. And finally, hopefully you feel confident that you can share it by yourself, or preferably, you can take someone else and train them as well. It's a lot like medicine. As a medical student and resident, I shadowed physicians and watched what they did. Then I did it with supervision, and then I moved on and taught those below me. We need to take that approach to sharing the gospel. We need to mentor one another and train one another in order to do this. We're going to go ahead and say a prayer now, and then we'll get into some discussion questions. Thank you.